Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Like having my back to the bishop.
I got your back. Okay.
One of the things that I love so much about this gospel lesson tonight is how many times have we had the experience of a star rising in our lives? And we look at it and we say, oh, that's the star that I've been waiting for. I know what that star is. Oh, the Patriots are on at 4 o'clock. I better make sure I'm nice and cozy. Or, ooh, it's cold out. That star looks pretty far away. I think I'll sit here and enjoy the star from where I am. It's so amazing to think about these wise people, wherever they were, who had been calculating for years the rising of this star. And that it meant the coming of the Savior of the world. And having that knowledge, they acted on it. How extraordinary is that? That they had the courage and the passion and the curiosity to follow that star. When I was recently so privileged to go to the Holy Land with our wonderful bishop, and with Hillary from our parish, we had a little bit of a quest experience of following something mysterious. We were sitting on the rooftop of the convent where we were staying in Nazareth, enjoying a glass of water. And we looked onto the horizon and saw smoke rising. And Bishop Gale educated us about so many things, but as the Palestinians continue to live under occupation, there are many protest fires that break out around the country for a variety of reasons. So when we saw what was obviously a huge blaze up the hill from the convent, my initial instinct was, let's go find it. For a number of reasons. Number one, it was a huge fire, and I was very concerned if this was a fire that had been set by the Israeli armed forces of a Palestinian home. I was sort of curious, even though I don't work for the Red Cross, I was sort of curious to know what it looked like to fight fires in a foreign country. Bishop Gale had also told us about the practice of burning trash, because the Israeli government does not collect trash as often for the Palestinians as they do for the Israeli citizens. So I was curious. I have to say that it was most definitely the influence of the wise people in the Holy Land, because never in this country have I ever seen smoke on a horizon and said, ooh, let's go find that fire. It took us quite a while, climbing up a number of stairs and leading up into the hill of Nazareth, before we finally found the fire and the Israeli firefighters who were there and looking quite disgusted at the Westerners who were coming to find the fire, and at the fact that they had to fight what was clearly a protest fire of some sort. But that experience in that place of seeing something on the horizon that sparked our curiosity and seeking it, Hillary and our friend Billy and I really had a deep longing and desire to find that fire. I think that hunger, that yearning, that curiosity is an experience that so many of us carry throughout our lives. We hunger so deeply for loving human relationships, for meaningful work where our souls can sing and express the gifts that God has given us. We long for financial security. We might long for a specific place. If you were born someplace and your heart aches to return there. But underneath all of those longings, all of that questing, of course we know is ultimately a deep hunger and longing for God. when we feel that first inkling of a call to the priesthood and begin to catch a glimpse of that star rising that we're not exactly sure what it is, but are wildly curious about it, it is touching that deep ache and longing that we all have to live a life that God has created for us. Now, Michael Bean from Virginia, fellow Virginians here, I apologize if this offends you, but when I was sharing my call story with a Baptist friend, when I was living in Virginia, I was explaining, you know, that hunger, that longing, that feeling that perhaps God was calling me to serve in the priesthood as I was growing in my relationship with Jesus and my great passion and love for God and God's people. And my friend said to me, "Libby, you Episcopalians totally mystify me. In the Baptist church, when we feel close to God and close to Jesus and called to service, we get baptized. How come in the Episcopal church, all you people who have this relationship with Jesus need to be ordained?" And it was such a wonderful reminder that our ordination begins at our baptism.
Amen.
Our ordination begins because we are born beloved children of God, hungering and questing to be filled with that sense of holiness. Now, the rest of the sermon might flop mightily because it's going to be about the Holy Grail and Disney princesses. So we're gonna take a chance with this. But that sense of questing, the Holy Grail, for those of you in the choir, is obviously one of the great legends and myths of our time to speak to us of that deep and eternal longing for peace, for eternal life, for connection with God. And some of the Christian versions of the legend of the Holy Grail, because of course we know it didn't begin with Monty Python, but many, many, many centuries before that, reaching full expression in the 12th and 13th century in French poetry. But when we read the legends of the Holy Grail run through Christian filters, there are some beautiful images for you, Michael, as you move into the sacred calling as priest, and for all of you as you live into your baptismal calling of the priesthood of all believers. The first part of the legend of the Grail that speaks deeply to me is that this vessel was first and foremost a cup holding wine at a meal shared by friends. That as the people of God and as priests in God's church, we are first and foremost called to celebrate the glory and the wonder and the majesty of ordinary life and things. So I pray that as you move into your priesthood, Michael, that every cup that crosses your life, that every book and sunrise and conversation and meal, the boring times and the enriching times, that every single bit of ordinary life is wondrous to you, that it fills you with curiosity, and that in the filling, you help the people around you to see the sacredness of God's world. The second aspect of the legend of this vessel is, of course, that Jesus said some very special words while he was using it at table with his friends. Now, some of the legends say that there are special things inscribed in the actual Grail so that there are holy words in the Grail. Others say that the oral tradition of what Jesus spoke and comes down to us through the church and through the sacred order of priests and our calling to proclaim those words, to remember what Jesus did with his friends. But there's the sense that this cup contains holy words, that it is wrapped in the words of Christ, contains the words of Christ, and that those words can be a light to all of the world. So as each and every one of us participate in the gift of conversation, whether serious, whether light, whatever it might be, and especially, Michael, as you use words as priest, as you bless people and couples and babies and boats and backpacks and all of the things that you will bless. As you remind people that they are forgiven by God, forgiven before they ask, and certainly forgiven before we say anything. As you bless bread and wine, consecrate and use your words in that sacred and ancient way. And in every occasion where you have the chance to use words to invite and to include, or to alienate and to distance, may you always remember this vessel as a sacred gift of words and your power, your intellect, your eloquence, to use those words as priest to change lives. This vessel, in some traditions, is also the cup that Joseph of Arimathea held as he was standing before Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, and collected the drops of blood that fell from our Savior's body. This vessel is also a sign to all of us of our wounds, of the fact that we are our most human, our most alive, our most like our Lord in his humanity, when we are willing to be vulnerable to each other, to share where our woundedness is. As priests, it is our great privilege to walk on this journey with people who are struggling with a variety of wounds. And it is most important that we never diminish, undervalue, or try to fix whatever it is that people are enduring. In standing in the vessel of the wound, we remind people that they are never alone, that God is always with them. God is always seeking to heal them through this sacred vessel. I love that in so much iconography around the Holy Grail, there is light emanating from this vessel. And when I was thinking about how do we imagine taking that light into us, drinking that light of Christ, and allowing it to change us from the inside out, I was remembering the scene from The Little Mermaid when Ariel is about to get her voice back. You remember that? Ursula the Sea Witch has gotten Ariel's voice because she so desperately wanted to be a human that she gave herself to the darkness. As priests, we have so much awesome possibility and reverence and gift, and so much temptation to give it to the darkness because the Patriots are on, because it's cold out, because we've worked too hard and there are too many suffering people, and we lose our voices. The most awesome thing about this Holy Grail and daring to drink of it as priests, as the priesthood of all believers, is that in that moment in The Little Mermaid, when Ariel decides that she wants her voice back, there is this stunning image of this orb of light that swirls up and around her and enters into her body. And from that space comes this extraordinary song. It is that song that you must never lose to be a passionate advocate for all of God's people who are injured and oppressed and lonely, hurting, depressed, in any way broken by this world. Your voice, staying grounded in that vessel of light, hungering and questing constantly for a deeper relationship with God, can bring peace and love and light into a world that is desperately needing it. May God bless you richly tonight. Amen. May God bless all of you who have gathered together to celebrate this extraordinary moment. But most of all, may we all have the curiosity and the hunger to quest after that grail, to grab that vessel with the burning light, celebrating the ordinary gifts of God, cherishing the power of our words to heal and empower and to nurture and to build each other up, and deeply, deeply staying in those places where there are wounds until the light of Christ pours from us with that eternal word of grace. Amen.
Amen.